he's a preacher boy. And you have to understand that sometimes we think, well, if we're in the right setting, if we grow up in the right family, if we have the right spouse, if we have the right job, if we have the right fill in the blank, I want you to understand that your heart can still be wrong. Did you get that? You can drive the right car, but you're not right with God. You can dress right, but your heart is wrong. You could say the right words, but your heart is wrong. This is what we're going to talk about. If we're honest with ourselves, not only do the churches do that, not only does society do that, but we as people do that. We judge a book by its cover, but God doesn't. God judges the book for what it is, the context of it. And this is, I'm going to give you context about what this portion of scripture is. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, I will therefore that men, so who's he talking to? Come on now, who's he talking to? Timothy, to address the what? The men, right? For this reason, that men pray. So what are we supposed to do, men? Pray. Pastor, duh. Okay, but I'm going somewhere with this, because remember, we get caught up in the outward, in the external, in the display. We don't really get caught up in the spirituality of it. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up what? What is that? Is your behavior clean? What you do during the week, men, is it clean? Are you connected with God before you pray? That's what God looks at. Holy hands. Without what? And what does that mean? How in the world is God going to listen to my prayer if I'm living an impure way of life? How in the world is God going to look or listen to my prayer, and I expect God to listen to my prayer when I have what? Wrath in my heart. I have anger for an individual. I have bitterness against my family. I have anger against my employee. I'm upset against someone. Amen. Are y'all listening or no? Yeah. Here's the truth. This can apply to men, but can I tell you who it can apply to as well? Ladies. I know it's specific. You know who else it could apply to? Young men, young ladies, teenagers, young boys, young girls. I know it's specific to men. I get it. And I'm not taking it out of context like many people do. I'm actually using this portion of scripture in its context. It's about what? Here's my first point I'd like to share with you. Your prayer life reveals your heart. The condition of your heart. It says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and what? Doubting. How can you and I pray if we have anger in our hearts to God? How can you and I pray to God when we're living in sin and impure lives? How can you and I pray to God and be connected with God when we don't trust Him enough and we're doubting Him? Amen? Paul starts with men because who's supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home? Men, right? It's not that we're better, but we're supposed to lead the home. Am I right? How can I lead my home, Miss Deborah, if I'm living a sinful life? Monday through Saturday, I'm living impure, and then I come on Sunday and expect God to listen to my prayers. Amen. But how do you expect that as well? Amen. I want us to understand that here in this church and with the preacher boy, Timothy, Paul is telling him, look, spiritual leadership is failing. You have a bunch of men that are praying and their hands are not holy when they lift them up. It's all show. Hey, their heart condition, I'm going to tell you something, it's not right with God. I want you to understand, folks, that holy hands equal a clean life, a holy life. What are holy hands? Hands that are separated for who? For God. Separated for what? For good. Can I tell you something? That's a clean life. It says without wrath. What does that mean? No bitterness. How are you going to pray to God, a holy God, a loving God, when you have bitterness in your heart and you can't let it go? Amen? Well, you don't understand. I don't need to understand. I understand what the Bible says. That's why we don't take the Bible out of context. Amen? Not this wall. The Bible. How do I expect God to answer my prayer if I'm, honestly, I don't have real faith. I'm not trusting in Him. I'm living by sight. What I know. You can't live like the world again Monday through Sunday and expect God to hear you Monday through Saturday and expect God to hear you on Sunday. Can you imagine real quick if I walked with the phone all day long, which I do, amen, and then I looked at it, and then every so often I pick it up and I put it down. But you know what's the catch? The phone is dead. Why are you laughing, Ms. Deborah? It happens, amen. Sometimes the charger doesn't work. But can you imagine that, right? You're walking around, you're picking it up, you're trying to look, see what time it is, maybe who texted you. What would you think of me if you found out that my phone was dead? Huh? I need some help? What was that? Crazy, thank you, crazy. What else? Huh? Loco, what else? An addiction? I need glasses? Well, it would be useless. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be useless? I mean, it's a phone, but it's not connected. It's a phone that is supposed to tell me what time it is. But here's the truth. The phone is dead because there's no what? Battery. There's no power. There's no connection, right? Okay. So here's the thing. For us men, why'd you go to two? Can you go back? My PA man, we need to pray for him. Amen. All right. It's talking to men here. You know, just like that phone, men, we're useless. Let me tell you this again. We are useless because we're not connected. We don't have the holy hands. We're not living a pure life. We're useless when we have wrath and bitterness. We're useless when we don't have trust in God. The connections in the prayer, just like that phone, it would be useless for me to carry this. It's not serving its purpose. And I want us to understand that men, spiritually, a lot of us are not connected to the Bible. We carry it, but we don't know it. Many of us, time and time again, not only do we show up to church, but we say a prayer almost like it's convenient, a quick prayer like it's routine. Now you say, Pastor, why are you saying that? I'm going to tell you, just like that phone that doesn't have that connection, our prayers are useless. Amen. Why, Pastor? What makes it useless? Here you go. Unholy hands, wrath, and doubt. That's what makes it useless. That's what disconnects us from God. Let me ask you something, ladies. Can your prayers be useless? God, I don't know why God doesn't. Well, do you have any one of these? I know it's for men, but do you have any one of these? Do you have wrath? Do you have bitterness? Are you holding on to grudge? Can you not forgive? Are you doubting? You say, Pastor, what is the point? Well, here's the point. If there's no real connection with God, it's because your life isn't clean. If I don't have real connection to God, it's because my life isn't clean. Simple. What is clean? I don't have holy hands. My behavior, the way I act, is impure. It's dirty. Amen? The way I think, it's impure. It's dirty. And it doesn't mean just sensual or sexual things. It means how you think of others. Are you critical? It means that you think you're better than other people. You're dirty. Because at the same time, folks, it doesn't matter where you come from. We're all equal at the cross. What are we? Sinners. What? Yeah, your sin is not better than my sin. You say, but my brain is. No, it's not. It's not. Your experience is not. This is why we take things out of context and we make this into something that it's not. This is why you and I need to understand what the Bible is talking about. This is why we lack power. This is why. Because we want to say, it's the outward man. No, it's what's in your heart. Prayer, your prayer life reveals your condition. Amen? If there's no connection there, I'm going to tell you something. It's because you're doubting. I'm going to tell you why. It's because there's anger. I'm going to tell you why. Because it's impure. Pastor, why is God not answering your prayers? Because I'm disconnected from God. That's the only reason. Amen? That's the only reason. A disconnected prayer life reveals a disconnected heart. And just like this phone, if it didn't have juice, it doesn't matter what you look on the outside. Amen? There's no connection. There's no power. Here's a question I have to ask you. When was the last time you actually prayed and not just repeated words? Honestly, when you go to lunch, don't we normally do this? I'm at fault. We get around the table. All right, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, bless the food. Bless it to our body. Amen. What is that? What is that? Repetition. What is that? Tradition. What is that? A ritual of some sort? Routine? What is that? God, thank you for the farmers of America. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you for the Chinese. They haven't poisoned us yet. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know how all that works. Amen. But thank you for the farmers that are working hard to grow these crops. God, thank you for using these vegetables and these crops, and thank you for giving us an opportunity to be able to provide for our family. Thank you for this table. Thank you for the carpenter that made the table. Why can't we pray like that? Well, Pastor, I'm going to go hungry. I know. Amen. I know. But when is the last time that we actually prayed? Is your heart clean, or is it carrying anger or pride? I'm going to say this. If your prayer life is weak, it's because, plain and simple, your walk with God is weak. Here's the second point. I hope you're still happy. Amen. Your priorities expose your heart. Man, I put parentheses women. You weren't supposed to see that part. Amen. That was for my notes. Amen. Sorry, Brother Zach. Amen. Sorry, ladies. I'm only putting what the Bible says, okay? Amen. You can get mad at me, but what does it say? Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. It says, woe men. Amen. Women. In like manner. Now, how many of you heard of this passage here? Raise your hand. Everybody should raise their hand. Amen. This is like a controversy for no reason. Amen. People use this and take this out of context for no reason. But I'm going to share with you what it actually means. Not that I know more. It's just you read the Bible for what it is. Spiritual. In like manner also that women, right, adorn themselves in what? Come on now. Modest. Modest equals this. It's simple. Just to not bring attention to self. That's it. Okay? That's modest. Okay? Modest apparel. It's not talking about holy garments. Okay? What are we talking about here? We look at the what? What do we look at? But what does God look at? Who you are. Are you the person trying to get attention by using clothing? Bring attention to yourself. Okay? If you're not, well, praise the Lord. You're spiritual. With shamefacedness and what? Sobriety. Now, another word for that would be sober, right? So that means you're a person that's there of a sound mind, okay? You're vigilant. You're sobriety, okay? Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Just very, very quick, very quick. I'm going to take a break for our sponsor. Chick-fil-A, amen, preacher. Real quick. Is God talking about, think about it, for the men it was prayer. Okay, men, we want God to move mountains. We want God to do something in our families, in our marriages. Guess what? Live holy. right? You're going to do it with holy hands, without wrath, without doubt. Okay, simple. That's what is that? Is that talking about my clothes? Is that talking about my appearance? Yes or no? No, what is it talking about? My heart. I'm going to be judged for who I am. That's it. My walk with God. Follow me. Ladies, is God talking against costly array, pearls, gold, broidered hair? Is this wicked for you to do your hair and fix your hair and have gold, I don't know, or pearls? Yes or no? Is this really about jewelry? Now, those of us that don't understand and we take the Bible out of context, we would say, yes, it is. It's not. It's about modesty. It's spiritual. It's about sobriety. That's spiritual. That's what's in your what? Because your priorities, ladies, expose your what? Now, I preach to the men, amen? But this, guess what? We don't apply this to men. But honestly, men, we can cause attention to ourselves too. We can. We can buy a nice little, nice expensive car to call attention to ourselves. We can. I could wear a Rolex, a Rolly, amen? I can't afford one. I have to go to the, pawn shop or something. But I can call attention to myself. I get it. It's not directed to men. I get it. But this can apply. This is specifically for the ladies, okay? But I want you to understand that the women at that time were being influenced in a culture of appearance. What do you mean? If you had status, you got attention. This is the church of Ephesus. He's writing this letter to Timothy, the preacher man, the preacher of this church of Ephesus. So it's not about fashion. You know what this is? Who are you? Are you a child of God or not? It's your identity. That's what this is about. It's not about fashion. Modest, again, means not drawing attention to self. Sobriety means a sound mind or self-control, okay? How many of you have heard this statement, under the influence? What do they mean by that? They equate that with what? Alcohol or drugs or anything like that, pharmakia, right? That's what they equate it with. Why? Because it's something what? Controlling you, something else. Sobriety here means self-control and a sound mind. Here's the thing. I want to explain this to us, ladies and gentlemen, young people. I want you to understand, if your worth is tied to how you look, you're always going to look for validation. You're never going to find peace. Listen to what I'm telling you. If you're worried about your looks, you're never going to find peace. And God is trying to say, no, that's not what makes you beautiful. It's not. It's not at all. See, I might not be tech savvy or whatever, but I have Facebook, amen? That's about it, amen? Oh, YouTube too. But in these platforms, and I don't know, maybe your phone has these things. I don't really know. My kids would have to help me out with this. And I'm going to sound dumb saying this, but how many of you heard filters? Yeah? Okay. Here's the thing, right? When you post something, I guess you have the opportunity, and I don't know if it's on your phone or what. I don't know. Or the post. I don't know. But you have this opportunity to filter how you look, right? So let's say, because I don't want to get anybody mad, and I want you to come back, amen, I'm going to use myself. Let's say I take a selfie because I'm so about me, amen, and it's Thursday night, and I need people here, and so I'm going to do this, the duck face, and then do the picture. And then I look at the real picture, and I'm like, ooh, I don't have hair. I'm going to have to put some hair right there, put a toupee. I filter it. Ooh, you know, those bags, ooh, bags under the eyes. They're going to have to hide. That's too many cracks right there. Mm-mm. So I'm going to have to filter that, okay? Let me see what else I could work on. Everything else is perfect. Amen? Right, babe? No? Amen. She didn't. No comment. And I'm like, I could probably cut the beard and then probably do a light, different light. And then, guess what I do, Miss Deborah? Because I'm cool like that. At 46, amen. I'm cool like that. I post it on my Facebook post and maybe say something like, you want to experience victory? Come to our church. Okay? I don't know how many people are going to come to the church, amen? But but I'm trying to get likes. Here's the problem. I'm doing that, but I didn't put the real picture. I'm putting a filtered picture of myself. Because here's what usually happens in society, okay? And I'm just that vague and I'm that vain. I'm all about myself. I want to see how many likes I get. And then I'm trying to see, like, how many likes not only do I get, Miss Deborah, because I'm cool like that. I'm trying to see who notices it, right? I know you guys are not like that, okay? I know you're not like that, okay? But I'm like that, okay? I'm like that. And so I do that, and then guess what? Deep down inside, what you and I don't realize is that if I'm that kind of person that takes selfies or pictures and puts them on Facebook, and I'm worried about other people, I'm actually finding my worth in what? How they think of me? Other people's opinion of me? I'm trying to find what? Validation? And my friends, can I tell you something? That's not how God works. Ladies, that's not how God works. I want you to understand that here's the truth. The filtered version of my post is not real life. This is not real life. God's looking for that modest, sober, spiritual person. And I want you to understand that even though we edit and we adjust and we try to filter things and try to put our best foot forward, I want you to understand that here's the truth. If you were to see my real life in comparison to that post, you would understand that that filter image doesn't show you how stressed out I am in life. Amen? You would look at that picture and you would say, wow, he grew hair. Amen? But that's not true. You wouldn't see the motives behind that post. You wouldn't see the hurt and the pain that I'm going through. You wouldn't see the heartbreak or the heartache. You wouldn't see any problems in my life. Why? Because it's filtered. It's fake. You get it? It's not real. It's not real. And I want you to understand that you and I can filter our image, but we can't filter our life when it comes to God. Amen? You and I need to understand that God doesn't look at our posts. Amen? God doesn't look at our outfits. Amen? God doesn't look at what I'm wearing or my presentation or my image. Amen? What he looks at is my heart. He looks at my motives. And he looks at my priorities. And ladies, can I tell you something? That's what he looks at. Who you are. So I want you to ask yourself, am I more concerned with being seen by people, or am I more concerned by being seen by God? That's the question you want to ask. Are you more concerned with people giving you likes, or are you more concerned with being more godly? That's what God's concerned about. Do I want approval from people, or do I want the approval from God? Amen? Because at the end of the day, all the likes that I get on Facebook or no likes that I get on Facebook cannot equate to righteousness of God for doing right. Right? It doesn't equal to that. I'd rather do right and please my Father and get his approval. And ladies, that's what that's about. It's not about a holy garment, okay? Jesus didn't die for clothes. He died for your soul. He died for your heart. He died for you. So what you do with that life, that's your gift to him. You can impress people with a filtered image, but I will tell you this, when we stand before God, it's going to be unfiltered. You can write that down. If you sell it and make a t-shirt, make sure you give 10% of the proceeds to the church. Amen? You say, Pastor, what do I need to spend more time on? Spend less time on your outward look. Spend more time in your walk with God. I promise you that's going to help you. It's going to help your children. is going to help your spouse. It's going to help our church. Spend more time in your walk with God. Here's the third point, and I'll be done. If you're still with me, say amen. God cares about what comes out of your life. 1 Timothy 2:10. We just read verse 8, right? That was directed toward the men. We read verse 9. It was directed to the ladies. But I believe this is directed to everyone. And by the way, we can use it. Amen. But which becometh women professing godliness. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. With what? With what? Good works. What is that? Fruit of what? Your godly life. Of your real life. Good works. I want you to understand that this is the standard. It's not about talking the talk. It's not about how we look, the image. It's about the fruit. It's about what we produce. If you and I profess to be godly, you know what that means? I belong to God. Husbands, when we profess to be married and husbands to our wives, what does that mean? Your husband to what? Your wife. One person. That's it. That's what that means. We don't just say, oh, I'm married. No, I'm married to my wife. Amen? We need to understand that it's not just talking. It's the fact that we belong to God. Good works prove whether that we're actually true or not, if we are godly or not, the way we react, if it's true or not. I want you to understand that when life happens to us, can I tell you something? It only exposes who you are. It exposes your heart condition. How many of you get stressed out when you can't pay the bills? It's just exposing who you are. You're the only one. You're the only one. I don't know what you're talking about, amen, because we're spiritual, amen. Here's the thing, right? Can you imagine the sponge? If we were to have a sponge here and it looked like it was dry, and that sponge there, we look at it, and then all of a sudden I pick it up and I wring it. What's going to come out of it? It could be either be dirty water or it could be clean water. But what does that mean? It's going to come out whatever's in it. Right? Right? But there's that test, the squeeze. You wouldn't know it if you just left it there. If you wouldn't have picked up the sponge, you wouldn't know it. What's inside of that sponge? What does the Bible say? Out of the abundance of the what? The what? But you know what happens to us that we don't understand? Life. Stress and the pressure of life. Guess what that is? The squeeze. And what you've been consuming all week, guess what's going to come out? Guess what's going to come out? If I have anger in my heart, what's going to come out? Come on now. Man, some walls are about to have holes in the walls. Pastor, you're like that? No, I'm not like that no more. Amen. God has changed my life. But guess what I want to do? And guess what? Naturally, that's who I am. Why do you think I need Jesus? Why do you think you need Jesus? Your sin might not be my sin. But I will tell you what life does to us. It squeezes us. Unfiltered, just real and raw. Some of us might not have a problem with anger. Amen? Some of us might have a problem with bitterness. Guess what's going to come out? Bitterness. Can you follow? Do you understand what this is about? It has nothing to do with the external. But you will produce what's in here. And I want us to understand that God is here to help us in our walk with God. This is a spiritual journey, and it's a journey of faith, and you have to trust God. And you have to live in such a way. I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but man, you have to realize who you are and say, Jesus, I need your help. Be real. Be real. You say, Pastor, why? Because those kids you have need a real parent. They need an authentic Christian, godly parent. You're hearing it from someone that only had a single mom, and she's everything to me, but we were raised that way. Guess what we needed? God. And she needed to be authentic as possible, and she needed to realize where she needed work. God needed to work in her life. And praise the Lord for that. She wasn't perfect, but it's what we needed. Man, we have a church here, and God has blessed us with, I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about the people. This community needs people that are walking with God. But this community is not going to come to church or visit a church or believe in your God when they see when life squeezes you, this is how you react. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. It's just, they make me angry. No. It's exposing who you are. That's what this is about. God cares about what comes out of your life. And my friends, pressures, conflicts, frustration, these moments, they don't create anything in you. What it does is it reveals what's already inside of you. And if you can't acknowledge that, my friends, I don't know how to help you. Just embrace it. I'm not perfect. Guess what? Join the club. Amen? None of us are perfect. But let's not walk around and live in deception and on self-denial. Amen? It's not the river in Egypt. But don't live in self-denial, amen, and think there's nothing wrong with us. Naturally, there's something wrong with us. This is why we need Jesus, to help us live in a way that we don't know how to naturally. Because guess what's going to happen? Life is going to squeeze us, and what's going to come out is anger, because that's what's in us. What's going to come out is not only anger, but bitterness. But what happens? Follow me. Because both dirty water can come out of it, or clean water. What happens when you spend time with God and you walk with God and you do godly things, and then trauma hits you or stress hits you and you're about to argue or you're about to fight or you're, I don't know what, you can't pay the bills. But what if you spend time with God? What's supposed to come out? Godliness. It's that simple. God cares about what comes out of your life. But here's the thing. We need to consume godliness. You say, well, Pastor, it's not really me. Listen, no, it is. Let me break it down to you, okay? Many of you were raised, I'm going to apologize for that. Your parents told you you were special in life. Amen. My mom did the same thing. Amen. I found out I wasn't. Guess what? No, it's really you, okay? You're like, no, I'm special. No, you're not, okay? You're not, amen? It's really you, okay? Here's the thing. When life hits you, all it's doing is exposing who you truly are. If you can embrace that, guess what? That's the first step to recovery. There's something wrong with me. That's all God wants. That's what he died for, your heart, your soul. Because God isn't measuring you in your calm moments. What's the point in being a good Christian when it's calm? Everything's good. The bills are paid. There's no drama in your marriage. There's no drama in your family. There's no drama in the church. What? You're not a martyr for Christ. Amen? Does that take faith? No, it doesn't. To be calm? Living in paradise? Hey, Eve, we get to live forever. Eve, we will never grow old. Eve, we're surrounded in paradise. And then what happens? She says, yeah, it's not enough, is it? That was for free, just letting you know. That's who we are. That's who we are. We just can't accept the simple fact that God is trying to give us paradise. God was trying to give us eternal life. God is trying to give you a better way to live life, but it's just not enough. I'm going to tell you why. You're looking elsewhere. God has a purpose for your life this evening. Let me ask you this. If someone followed you this week, would they see Christ? Does your life match what you believe or you say you believe? Here's the thing. God is not fooled by words. He looks at your what? What? life, your actions, your behavior. This passage, again, is not about men versus women. It's not about dress or outfits versus behavior. That's not what this is about. Well, you need to understand that this is about you can look right, but still be wrong with God. You can speak right, but still be wrong with God. You can even act like you're doing right and going to church and doing the things you need to do, but you still could be wrong with God. That's what this is about. It's spiritual. And Pastor, how can this help me? Well, here's the thing. If that's the case, you can come to church and you still don't know who God is. Because guess what God is looking for? He's trying to say this. You can look modest, you can look the part and dress the part, but you're still prideful. Is that true? I know in my situation, sometimes it is. You can say prayers, but guess what? They're still not being heard. Because God is looking at your heart, not your image. So ask yourself, is my prayer life real, or is it a routine? Is my focus on God, or is my focus on self? Here's the truth. Naturally, none of us live the right way. From the pastor to the parishioner, none of us live this way. Naturally, it's just how it is. But don't lose hope. Because here's the thing. The answer to your pride and my pride, the answer to our selfishness, our self-focus, your self-focus, the answer to that spiritual inconsistency in our life is Jesus. That's the answer, Jesus. I am the way, I am the truth and the life. It's Jesus. With that said, I want you to understand, it's not to make us better, but Jesus is here to make us new and better. God is not impressed, again, by our life or our image. I'm sorry. He's examining who we are, our life. One day, when we stand before God, it's not going to be based off of what family we grew up in, how we looked. It's going to be based on who you were. With that said, bow your head, close your eyes. I hope this helps. Sometimes we have a misconception.